What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
This is the new Weight Watchers, built for real life and real results, no matter what mode you're in. Maddie went all in for her big day and lost 33 pounds. Emily lost 85 pounds and hit her goal while still living her life.
Weight Watchers gave me the tools and I feel amazing.
Join the millions of members and lose weight with the number one doctor-recommended weight loss program. Lose more at WeightWatchers.com.
At 6 months, participants in a clinical trial of Weight Watchers program lost an average of 12 pounds.
Hi, and thank you so much for listening to the Katie Helper Show. We have a great show for you today. It's from our live taping at the Brooklyn Commons. We do that every second Wednesday of the month. And on this show, we have a great discussion with Abby Martin, who is the host of The Empire Files, but she's also starring in a recently released intelligence report that claims that Vladimir Putin directly interfered in the U.S. presidential elections in order to undermine Hillary Clinton and boost Donald Trump. And this report that was put out by the Director of National Intelligence mentions Abby Martin by name and mentions the role that she and her show, Breaking the Set on RT, play it in allegedly helping elect Donald Trump. It's very interesting. You'll see that it turns out that show ended in 2 years ago, but somehow it was prescient enough to cause Hillary Clinton to lose the election. The report also has no evidence for the claims that there was real interfering, and it doesn't say that it affected any vote tallying or counting. So that's also interesting. We also talked to Mike Preisner, the producer of The Empire Files, Nando Villa, a writer and producer from Fusion who made the documentary Trumpland, and Sam Alkoff, a producer for Democracy Now! And we introduced a special feature called 10 Questions in 10 Minutes with journalist Ben Norton. In order to hear the full interview, which you're definitely going to want to do because it includes a lot of juicy things, including a lot of cursing, make sure that you join our Patreon. That's patreon.com/thekatiehalpershow. Again, that's patreon.com/thekatiehalpershow. Join and you'll get access to the full rest of the interview. And we will see you next week. Thanks. Bye. You know what? Let's just get the show on the road, shall we?
I'm ready.
All right, cool. We are bringing up to the stage a very smart guy. This is the debut of a segment we're doing called 10 questions in 10 minutes. So bring yourself to the stage, Benjamin Norton. So Ben, who writes for many places, including Salon.
I was a reporter at Salon. I'm actually now a reporter at Alternet.
Love Alternet.
Oh,
good job.
In the Gray Zone with friend of the show.
I work on the Gray Zone project, which is edited by Max Blumenthal.
Nice. Hi, Max. Hey, come back onto the show. Okay. That sounded like a rap. Okay, so are you ready for your 10 questions in 10 minutes?
Yeah, if I can preface, I'll say you promised that you were going to ask me 10 questions, and you sent me like 10 phrases.
Oh, yeah, don't worry.
So you were like one of the questions is just the word sessions.
Yeah.
Technically, so like those aren't really questions. Actually, of the 10
unplugged
were questions.
Unplugged sessions. It's the Katie Helper Show unplugged sessions. So I want your opinion on them.
We want like more of a free association slam
got it.
Poem.
You want to know what the question is? I didn't want to give it away, but now I will. What's the deal with...
Oh, sweet. Okay, I got it.
What's the deal, Sessions?
Jeff Sessions is an Alabama politician who has a history of extreme racist remarks, and he once said that the only reason he disliked the KKK is because they smoked pot. He's now being considered the attorney general for the Trump administration. He's been going through Senate hearings this week. Democrats have really not pushed hard at all. In fact, the New York Times said that the hearing did not have any vitriol. He actually, importantly, made some breaks with some Trump policies. He said that he actually wouldn't consider a permanent ban or a temporary ban, perhaps, on Muslim immigration. But he's still an extreme racist. In 1986, MLK's widow, Coretta Scott King, published a letter in which she encouraged Congress not to appoint him as a federal judge. He ultimately did not become a federal judge because of his ties to racist groups and his extreme white supremacist views. Oh. And now he'll be again at the helm of the Department of Justice.
Awesome.
And of course, the
not
KKK
him.
Is a white supremacist terrorist organization. So we should be clear
more of
about
a pot.
That.
It's more of a pot pool. Okay. What Tillerson? What's the deal?
All right. So Tillerson was formerly the CEO of ExxonMobil, which is the eighth largest corporation in the world. And, of course, he has a history of large oil spills, etc. Bill McKibben published an article in The Guardian this week calling him the physical embodiment of big oil. And now he's going to be Secretary of State and oversee foreign policy for the U.S. government. He was also grilled even by Republicans, including Marco Rubio, and some anti-Russia hawks. And Tillerson oversaw a corporation that funded anti-science propaganda for years, even though ExxonMobil in 2006 acknowledged that anthropogenic climate change was happening. They were still, before that, actively for years funding anti-science propaganda that climate change is now already leading to deaths throughout the global south and is going to make things even worse over in the upcoming years.
What's the deal with Israeli raids?
Okay, so I mean, frequently, since 1967, the West Bank has been under illegal Israeli occupation by the Israeli military, and frequently the Israeli military carries out raids against Palestinians. But also, we're already seeing an extremely emboldened right-wing government in Israel. It's been empowered by the Trump administration, which is essentially going to let it do whatever it wants. And according to UN data, in 2016, just in the first 6 months, the Israeli military demolished as many Palestinian homes as it had in 2015. So things are getting worse
and worse. Things are on the up and up.
Very productive.
Who needs homes?
Betsy DeVos? What's the deal?
So this is going to be the likely Secretary of Education for the United States. She's just a billionaire who is a longtime Republican operative. And she also is a crusader against public education. She's a staunch supporter of corporate charter schools. And actually, she was funding a think tank that released a policy paper that called for the abolition of child labor laws.
She's an abolitionist. Good for her.
So, more chimney sweeps.
Absolutely. I mean, what do children learn in school? They learn math. They could be, cleaning.
Black law. They could be learning black law.
Exactly.
Nimble fingers, man.
Yeah. Exactly. Think about all the skills.
What a waste. Keep going, Ben. Sorry.
Keep going?
Oh, no, that's good. Doesn't she wrestle?
One thing. So Devos's brother, Eric Prince, is a Navy SEAL who founded Blackwater, the mercenary group, which is, of course, responsible for crimes in Iraq and elsewhere.
Wait, but isn't she a wrestler or something?
We're all wrestlers, technically.
Yeah, at heart. I know. Okay, I wrestler identify. What's the deal with hacking?
There are allegations that Russia was behind the hacking of the DNC and also of the emails of John Podesta, who is the chair of Hillary Clinton's campaign, a longtime Democratic operative who played an important role in the transition of Obama's administration, etc. There has been very little evidence that's presented. It's very possible that Russia could be behind the hacks, but there's this kind of extreme hysteria going on, and there's this claim that Russia hacked the U.S. election, whatever that means. I mean, it grows from hacking Podesta's emails to hacking the U.S. election. There's this ambiguous language. The reporting on it has been very irresponsible. I mean, the Washington Post ran a story last week that they actually had to completely redact and then publish another story reflecting the fact that the previous one had been false, claiming that Russians supposedly hacked a Vermont electrical grid, but actually it was a computer that wasn't even connected to the internet that had Russian software, but that doesn't mean that it was actually Russian hackers. I mean, it's like finding an AK at a crime scene and saying this is obviously a Russian plot.
It is, though.
Yeah.
It is.
I mean, it's possible that Russia was behind the DNC leaks. In fact, today, on Wednesday, I think, today's Wednesday, whatever, Trump
obviously
acknowledged,
it's the Katie Halper Show day.
Yeah, the best day of the week. Oh, I mean, it's not really the best day. Actually, Wednesdays kind of suck. But
for the Katie Halper Show,
Trump,
we would abolish them.
Actually, Trump did say today that it's very possible. He was like, Russia could have probably hacked the DNC. But there's also a long history, of course, of the U.S. not only hacking but overthrowing democratic-led governments throughout the world, and not just back into the famous example in 1953 in Iran and 1954 in Guatemala and 1973 in Chile, but even 2002 in Venezuela.
Stop coup
even
dropping.
Even 2009 in Honduras under Obama. So, I mean, this is...
Right.
We love it.
We love it. That's the American way.
Hacking and coups.
But we like it to be American exceptionalism, so we don't like when Russia does it. Okay. I'm trying to red bait myself. No one's accused me of being a Putin stooge, and I feel kind of bad.
It's not really red baiting, though. Putin's right wing. I mean, this is obnoxious.
Thanks,
all
Ben.
These comparisons.
I really thought every night when I sang the Internationale, I was looking at a picture of him, and now I have to redo my feng shui in bedroom and all that stuff. No, I know that. That's the funny thing.
Serious question. Were you singing the Internationale in Russian or French or English?
English and Spanish.
Okay, good.
Okay. And then what's the deal with inauguration protests?
Oh, okay. So on J20, everyone should be going to the inauguration. There's going to be
January
huge
20th.
Protests. January 20th, there's large protests organized by a bunch of different organizations. There's also a protest planned for the next day, a kind of Million Women's March, which is highlighting impending Trump regime's anti-women, misogynist policies, the potential attack on abortion rights.
Bring
also some far-right paramilitary types, these far-right gun nuts who you know, like white supremacists also claim that communists are going to try to prevent the inauguration of Trump on the 20th, so they're going to come out potentially armed. Like the Oath Keepers released a threat.
All right, things are looking good.
Okay. There could potentially be an inauguration.
Are you going, Ben?
Of course I'm good.
All right, cool.
It's going to be great.
Obama farewell speech.
So Obama gave his speech on the 10th in Chicago, and, you know, he said a lot of great, you know, liberal feel-good rhetoric, even though many of this, much of this contradicts his own policies. He spoke about racism, which is, of course, important, and the failure of a supposed post-racial order. He also, you know, made some thinly veiled critiques of Trump, and he spoke about the importance of immigration, but the irony is that the Obama administration has overseen more deportations than any other administration, more than 2.5 million people. Obama also spoke about the importance of peace, etc., but, I mean, this is someone whose administration, we now know, dropped 26,000 bombs on 7 Muslim-majority countries last year and is currently overseeing several more wars in Yemen. I also just want to mention Yemen because I have to mention Yemen. So we were talking about Israel, but this week the U.S. backed Saudi forces in Yemen, which had been bombing the country for 21 months and killed 10,000 people, etc. They also bombed another school this week. So, yeah, bombing schools isn't a good look, Obama.
Or maybe it is for some people. Mm. I'm just trying to represent, you know, both sides. I don't want people to think we have a bias on this show. So. And then Trump presser.
I'll combine these. Okay. BuzzFeed published this dossier that includes alleged research on Trump, although it actually has some demonstrably false errors in it or supposed facts in it, but some of it could potentially be true. One of the most eye-catching or eyebrow-raising or whatever adjective you prefer tidbits in this dossier is allegations that when he was in Moscow, Trump hired prostitutes to pee on each other. So there's like been this like golden shower thing, which, I mean, I'm sure there'll be a lot of jokes about this tonight because there's just so many, it's just so rich comedically.
I don't kink shame, so whatever.
Yeah.
And I actually did see people on my Facebook feed arguing about kink shaming. So, I mean, there you go. That Donald Trump's already, he's not even president, he's already inspiring all these national
he's
dialogues.
He's woke Trump.
It's like
woke
what, it's,
Trump.
It's like what Clinton said about Nancy Reagan. She inspired a national,
yeah, dialogue,
a
national dialogue
while people were dying of AIDS. But I'm sorry, I mean.
No, she this did. It was 5 years later, but it still started.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. So Trump inspired national dialogue 10 days before being president about kink shaming.
Well, look.
Absolutely. He's sex posy, man.
Yeah, he's
this is a Dan Savage moment.
Yeah, I mean, I
stigmatize the P word,
that,
guys.
I mean,
am I right or wrong? How many people now say that word freely?
P,
a little diminutive word for a cat, which we can't say right now. But I'm telling you,
oh,
how much
one.
Did he put that into the? He did what feminists have been trying to do for decades. That's all I'm going to say.
Wait, so I'll finish this.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so BuzzFeed published this, and
#WokeTrump.
This dossier,
woke Trump. You can
this dossier was written by a former British intelligence official who's anonymous. I mean,
Nigel.
A name has potentially been released. Not Nigel, but Nigel is a very British name.
That's what I'm saying. Like, why don't we call him that? That should be his.
Yeah. If I could feign a British accent, I would say it like that, but I suck
at
accent.
Nigel.
So this potential Nigel person, and this the problem, of course, is that this former British intelligence official actually had been hired as an oppo researcher for both anti-Trump Republicans and then later for Democrats. So, I mean, there's just been an attempt to discredit this dossier. Who knows? I mean, the FBI actually, which allegedly used it as part of its report, hasn't actually fact-checked it yet. So, anyway, so BuzzFeed published this thing, and, you know, some journalists were actually pretty critical of it because the official and the people, like, pushing out this dossier had reached out to multiple journalists who actually didn't want to publish anything about it because it was somewhat questionable.
Flimsy.
Well, anyway, so there was a presser today, which is one of the most bizarre pressers I've ever seen in my entire life. It's actually worth watching, in which Trump calls BuzzFeed a failing pile of garbage.
I think it was disgraceful that the intelligence agencies allowed any information that turned out to be so false and fake out. I think it's a disgrace. And I say that. And that's something that Nazi Germany would have done and did do. I think it's a disgrace. That information that was false and fake and never happened got released to the public. As far as BuzzFeed, which is a failing pile of garbage, writing it, I think they're going to suffer the consequences. They already are.
Which, you
failing,
know...
Failing, that implies that there's like any...
I am certainly no fan of Trump, and I hope he fails in every single way possible. But actually, he's not necessarily completely wrong in that assessment.
He's like, I hate listicles.
Yeah, I mean, although, I mean, this is true in general in much media. But and then a CNN journalist asked him, he said, well, you know, you're criticizing us, you've been trying to ban us, etc. Can we at least ask a question? And Trump, it was a remarkable moment. Watch this video. Trump just says, like, no, I can't. No, I hate you, blah, blah, blah. You cannot you cannot ask me any questions.
Since you're attacking us, can you give us a question? Mr. President-elect.
Go ahead.
Mr. President-elect, since you are attacking our news organization, you give us a chance?
Your organization
You are attacking our news organization.
Your organization.
Can you give us a chance
Let's
to ask a question, sir?
Go ahead.
Sir, can
Quiet.
You state, Mr. President-elect,
go ahead.
Can you state categorically,
she's asking a question.
Mr. President-elect, can you give us a question?
Don't be rude.
You're attacking us. Can you give us a question?
Don't be rude.
Can you
no,
give
I'm not
us a question?
I'm not going to give you a question.
Can you state categorically?
You are fake news.
Sir,
go ahead.
Can you state categorically that nobody. No, Mr. President-elect, that's not
go
appropriate.
Ahead.
Which it kind of is, but
so,
not for the right reasons.
It's amazing to see how this like fake news narrative has really backfired because the corporate media actually does sometimes publish some actual fake news, as I mentioned with the Washington Post. And it's amazing to see how like this extreme far-right demagogue, whose right-hand man is the former head of Breitbart, which is Fake News Central, which published another fake story recently demonizing Muslims and claiming they burned down a church, which is absolutely ridiculous, shouting Allahu Akbar, which German
that makes
police
no
said
sense.
Was completely false. So, I mean, there's fake news all around, except on the Katie Halper Show. And I
right.
Guess I
Thanks.
Keep it real. Thank you. Well, Ben, thank you. You did an amazing job. And, in fact, we have a surprise judge who just dropped in. He didn't even know. You guys know the headlines. When you think of headlines, this audience probably will know what I'm talking about. When you think of headlines, what do you think of in the morning? Democracy Now!, right? We have we have two, one current, one former, Democracy Now! Producers in the audience. Aaron, Mate, thank you for coming.
Yeah.
How would you judge, as a former Democracy Now! Host and producer, how would you judge these headlines? Do you give it a DN thumbs up? You made Amy and Juan proud.
So
thank you.
I'll also be honest, I stole a bunch of that from Democracy Now! Headlines anyway.
Because
so.
We're democracy later. I've always said that. We're socialism later. Democratic socialism later. So... thank you again, Ben Norton. Okay, so guys, as I was saying before, this is really exciting because it's not every day that we get like someone named by intelligence. Again, we all like to think that, I'm just kidding, I was going to make a joke, but people won't get it. I was going to say we all like to think that we all played a role in Trump's election because we're accelerationists. I'm kidding, we're not. But Mike Reisner and Abby Martin from the Empire Files. Where do you guys want to sit? Wherever. Thanks so much for coming. Do you guys feel comfortable? Were you tailed on your way here?
Yeah.
Yes.
Always.
Always, yeah. Can you just tell us a little bit, like a little short, the personal is political. I don't know if you've ever heard that, but it is. So can you tell us a little bit about how you became involved and what you're currently involved in?
That's a big question, but I'll just say that doing citizen journalism, covering my community in Oakland and seeing the police state erupt in my backyard with Occupy Oakland, and then RT was really the only network on the ground that was covering Occupy. And so I just linked up with them there, and then the rest is history. But it was all for a small website that I had created just as a outlet. Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
Oh, man, you've done so much in addition to that.
Keep going.
Well, my name's Mike. I'm was in the Army. I was in the Iraq War and then many years ago, and then became... against the Iraq War, in the Iraq War, and then became a,
But good.
So then I became an anti-war activist while in the military and, you know, did a lot of work over the years, organizing other active duty soldiers and veterans against the war, including a lot of campaigns like going to military bases and, you know, actively encouraging people to refuse their orders to go to Iraq and Afghanistan and helping them do that. And then for the past... year and 3 months or so, been the producer and co-writer with Abby of our show called Empire Files on Telesur English.
Yeah.
It's a really great opportunity.
Don't they have, like, give off a really negative, like, sordid air of election engineering? You're like, no, they don't look like James Carville. What are you talking about? Too soon. Okay. Okay, interesting. So tell us a bit about how you discovered, and can you explain to people, I'm obviously making a reference to something in particular, but how did you discover that you guys had played such a pivotal role in the election of Donald J. Trump?
So I found out that the intelligence report had named Breaking the Set as basically like a key propaganda vector, and it was, this report is insane. I mean, are you sure you didn't write it, actually? Because
I know. I was reading and I was laughing. I was, like, giggling.
So, you know, for months and months, everyone's been waiting for this intelligence report to come out that, you know, really finally proves that Kremlin engineered our election and put Donald Trump in office. And so everyone was waiting with bated breath. And then, of course, this report comes out completely underwhelming, to say the least. Basically, half of it was just bashing the Russian state media outlet Russia Today. And not only that, but it had been like a dusted-off report from 2012 and just tacked onto this other, like, basically a couple pages just being like, you know, random allegations and unfounded assertions. So the bulk of the report was just bashing RT. It was extremely sad that that's the case that they have. And it named Breaking the Set as kind of when the Kremlin decided to start engineering and manufacturing consent to foment, quote, radical discontent. So,
and that was her show at RT.
Yeah, I mean, in this era of kind of neo-McCarthyism, that is very dangerous language when, you know, you're called unpatriotic. It borders on treasonous, essentially, if they're saying that that was a part in the context of bringing Trump to power. So the really, really interesting thing about this report, and by the way, the DNI has a budget of $53 billion. So you think that they could take an intern from one of the hundreds of think tanks in D.C. to have them literally, like, spend an hour updating the report, you know, especially the RT section?
They repeated a lot of the prose. A lot of the prose.
Yeah, and let's talk about how insane what the report alleged. So it wasn't even that they said, you know, BuzzFeed's done better takedowns of RT. It was embarrassing. It was so
10 times BuzzFeed 10 times has done better takedowns than RT.
And let's talk about what it said. This is the most amazing part. It basically, what the report says is that covering issues like fracking, like Occupy Wall Street, and like third-party elections was fomenting the radical discontent. Think about what that means. I mean, people watch RT to get coverage of these issues because the corporate media has failed so abysmally in their coverage of all these issues, just like Democracy Now and other outlets like that. And so to say that simply covering the issues that affect Americans and their communities is part of this Kremlin plot is quite astounding. And, you know, and also you see Hillary's speech that was basically in one of the leaked emails that said that fracking was a Kremlin plot as well. Fracking activists, sorry, anti-fracking activists. So that's what she said.
They were shipped over.
Josh Fox is actually Josh.
So all Fox criticism of the U.S. Fox and all coverage of U.S. issues that are, you know, critical is basically some sort
the
of
news,
sinister propaganda. Yeah, sinister propaganda in the eyes of the intelligence community.
Well, in the intro, can I read a little bit of the key judgment summary? So this is what they wrote. Russia's goals were to undermine public faith in the U.S. democratic process, denigrate Secretary Clinton, and harm her electability and potential presidency. I mean...
It worked.
Yeah, but it's like the easiest job ever. Undermine public faith in the U.S. democratic process, denigrate Clinton, and harm her... Okay. I mean, I think all those things were happening for decades. And then apparently they have... I think this is really funny because they base this on three agencies, right? They have the CIA, the FBI, and the NSA. And so they say that all three agencies agree with this judgment. CIA and FBI have high confidence in this judgment. NSA has moderate confidence. NSA is like the like Debbie Downer, like the party pooper. NSA is like, I'm not, I mean, like maybe, but I'm not, I'm like moderately confident in that. And they're like, come on, just say you're confident. They're like, no. So like, I like the NSA now. Okay. I'm gonna try to join their ranks and become an NSA officer. They'll totally take me. Oh, but it didn't affect the vote tallying.
Right.
So like it's just like it's kind of like they have like a gut feeling about it. It's like they send out a vibe, like an anti-Clinton vibe, is I think what the intelligence community would call
it. Yeah,
them.
I mean, they're when they quote these things, they say alleged Wall Street greed.
Right.
Alleged discontent. It's like, I'm sorry, what? Like 50%
alleged
of the country.
Wall Street. Do you even know that exists?
50% of the country is living in poverty, living paycheck to paycheck. So to say that they are not, you know, they don't matter and they don't exist and these issues aren't real is shocking.
And they also say Russia's state-run propaganda machine contributed to the influence campaign by serving as a platform for Kremlin messaging to Russian and international audiences. And as we all know, I mean, the world should vote for the president of the United States, but they don't. So again, not sure what the influence of that is. Like, because your cousins from Estonia come in and they're like, you know, you really should vote for Trump. Actually, Estonians probably love Trump. Okay. Anyway, some of my best friends. I don't know if I know a single Estonian. Okay. And then there's like, this is good. I like the way they're like, we assess Moscow will apply lessons learned from its Putin order campaign aimed at the U.S. presidential election to future influence efforts worldwide, including against U.S. allies and their election processes. Isn't that processes?
Processes.
Again, use an intern, like you were saying. But pay the intern. That's what Bernie would do. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to get you to sign this for me, by the way, afterwards. Will you guys sign this? So this was my favorite part of it. They say that we assess Putin, his advisors, and the Russian government developed a clear preference for President-elect Trump over Secretary Clinton. Putin publicly indicated a preference for President-elect Trump's stated policy to work with Russia. Putin publicly contrasted the President-elect's approach to Russia with Secretary Clinton's aggressive rhetoric, quote-unquote aggressive rhetoric. So is that like a bias, or is that just literally reacting to reality?
Yeah, I think it's the latter.
Thank you. Thank you.
And, you know, like their whole thing of high confidence, moderate confidence. I mean, the whole report explicitly says we have high confidence that we think this happened,
right.
Not that we have actual evidence or proof that any of this happened.
It's like they're telling someone that someone they know, they think has a crush on them. I feel like it's right. very high school.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm really confident that, like, Joey likes Sarah. Like, I don't have it from Joey's mouth, but I feel like, okay. Like, and Trump would be Sarah, of course. Okay. Then they also emphasize that it's multifaceted. It's like they have nothing to put in this report.
Right.
What isn't multifaceted? And they go through how it's like, by their nature, Russian influence campaigns are multifaceted and designed to be deniable because they use a mix of agents of influence, cutouts, front organizations, and false flag operations. Moscow demonstrated this during the Ukraine crisis in 2014 when Russia deployed forces and advisors to eastern Ukraine and denied it publicly. I'm like, you're just reading out of your like notes for what to do tomorrow.
It literally sounds like Alex Jones wrote that. Like that's
yeah, it does, but about the United States.
Yeah, super conspiratorial.
Right.
So let's go to your. How did you learn though that you had played this special role?
I mean, I was about to do a podcast just about the insanity of this whole Russian hacked our election allegation, and then I found out. I just got my phone started blowing up, and they're like, "Oh, well, you did it. You done it." So right before this podcast, I was like, "Well, I guess I'm part of this whole conspiracy," even though my show was on air before Trump was even, you know, in the running.
Yeah, but the Russians do that. They're ahead
they
of the
time
curve.
Travel.
They
yeah.
knew you could have won before anyone else.
that's
the real comedic thing about it. I mean, it's like the whole crux of this report is just to show this is how Russia not only just tried to interfere in U.S. public opinion, but this is how Russia tried to influence the election for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Abby's show, Breaking the Set, their best show on the network, for sure, ended 2 years before the election. But not only that, you just have to look at RT shows right now and who's on RT. I mean, you know, Tom Hartman has one of the big shows. He endorsed
big
Hillary
time
Clinton.
Oh.
Ed Schultz, you know, has a show. He endorsed Hillary Clinton, mm-hmm. too, I believe. I mean, there's a lot of progressives. There's socialists on RT and Sputnik. And so anyone just has to look at the network and see that actually there's quite a lot of very strong anti-Trump voices all over it.
And you realize that that is the real threat, clearly. Because if this was the threat to them, if this was the premise that they think is the Kremlin operation going on, just simply covering news that affect people and talking about inequality and talking about Wall Street greed, that means that this isn't about really Russia. It's about basically shutting down leftist progressive points of views, socialist points of views, because that's really what my show was. And this is the real problem, though, is because there's this boycott on RT, and even progressive journalists really join in on this call to demonize RT and to go along with this whole thing. Look, you're falling prey to the propaganda machine, okay? The propaganda machine means this fomenting of a new Cold War. It's extremely dangerous, and I think that we really need to take a step back, because an injury to one is an injury to all when it comes to media, especially in this case, state media. Not only is this completely audacious and ridiculous, but if RT's right now under attack, then Telesur might be next. Telesur is the station we work for now. It's a conglomerate of progressive Latin American countries. And then Democracy Now! Might be after that. I mean, we don't know where this could go in the Trump administration. It is going to be very insane. Their number one target is leftists.
And if you watch the Trump press conference today, both Pence and Trump started by saying, "We respect freedom of the press, but..."
But.
And then followed with...
There's some journalists that have been very nice to us. We respect that. There's some others that have been very mean. Traditionally, it's hurt my feelings. And I know who you are. We've got a list.
Tons of free press.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, it's funny when you said that, because I'm like, oh, very few people are going to be like, oh, first they came for RT and I didn't say anything because I watched Telesur. Then they came, you know, because we have to be like, okay, they're going to come from NPR or something so that people, because you know what I'm saying? We just have to work on our...
Well, I think it says it all when Chris Hedges, a New York Times Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, is at RT now because of how much the media has degraded over the last, or degraded, rather, over the last, you know, decade plus.
We have to make a new
term. I'm pulling a Bushism, a Trumpism, Biglier. The media has degraded so bigly over the last 15 years.
Ed Schultz is like a pretty, Ed Schultz is like a populist, but on farm stuff, farm policy stuff, he's not at all radical at all. So just his being on RT
Larry
is like,
King. Larry King's a Putin puppet.
Example. Sorry. He doesn't like Larry King.
Oh, yeah. Triggered. Sorry.
He does look like a Jewish grandmother. Triggered. I can say that.
It's the suspenders. Yeah. I can't.
I know the suspenders are weird.
No, that's it.
And is there anything in here you want to particularly read about yourself?
No.
All right. That's like the best interviewing.
They got like 1,000 things wrong, though.
Read this about yourself.
I know. No, like Chris Farley.
Well, that was the New York Times. Well, the best part about this report, so not only does the intelligence community say, you know, my show was somehow part of this effort, right, to get Trump elected, even
Don't
though
be coy.
I was extremely critical of everything Trump represents. But not only that, so you have the New York Times coming out the next day, defending the report, as Ben Norton tweeted this hilarious tweet. He was like, not only does the New York Times defend this as damning and it containing serious allegations, but then in the next breath it says it contains no hard evidence. So, but not only that, of course, the paper of record the next day prints this absurd story that had been up for almost a day before I even saw it and had them issue a correction that alleged that me, as well as this other girl, Liz Wall, which was also just a completely staged operation that was piggybacking on what I did, but they said that I quit on air and denounced the station as propaganda. And that was printed in the New York Times, and they didn't only say that, but they repeated it over and over again, and basically to prove their whole point, that the station is no more than a Kremlin mouthpiece. And I had to, you know, contact the guy. His name was Russell Goldman, and I said, actually, the truth about what happened actually completely contradicts and undermines your entire point of this piece, which is that I spoke out against Putin on air. I spoke out against RT's coverage of the glorification of Crimea. I continued to speak out. I kept my show for an entire year after that. I continued to speak out against the downing of MH17, about Syria, about Ukraine. All of these things happened on a primetime show on the network. So that totally undermines them. And really what it shows is the lack of courage of all these other journalists on corporate media. I mean, if I could pave editorial freedom to talk about the financier of RT on RT, what the hell is Don Lemon doing?
Yeah, it reminds me of all those like Rachel Maddow criticisms of Comcast that happened.
It's just totally defunct. It's like, okay, now what? You know. So anyway, it was just quite astounding to see the New York Times, and then they were editing it real time and rushing all these things, and then their correction ultimately still misconstrued what happened. It said Abby Martin spoke out against Putin and then left the network months later, still alleging that I somehow left over this political disagreement.
You said it's wrong, or whatever. Right.
When really it was just because my boss and I had problems, just like everyone at their office. It had nothing to do. Believe me.
Right.
Believe me. Believe me, I'm a germaphobe. What did Trump say when the Golden Showers thing? Believe me.
Believe me. Guys.
Which is gross, too. Like, germaphobes are gross, too. That's like that weird OCD, like Howie Mandel thing, where you're just like constantly
Purelling
your body.
Don't be
ableist, like,
Gabe. We cannot go down as an ableist show.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I denounce.
So it shows you how desperate they are to really maintain their narrative. You know, the New York Times wants to just desperately reassert this.
Well, and they didn't acknowledge it was a correction, as you pointed out.
No, absolutely not.
But here's, in all fairness, the New York Times also changed its headline about Bernie Sanders, and changed it from saying Bernie Sanders achieved victories through legislative side doors into Sanders achieved modest victories. That wasn't worth updating, though.
Mm-hmm. They also said a missile finds children on a beach in Gaza instead of just a missile blew up kids.
No,
a missile found them. It was like just walking down the beach and just met kids, and they're like, "Hey, what's up?"
Yeah.
It was like what's that movie with Julia Roberts?
I don't know.
Chocolate. Come on, self discovery movie. Oh my God, how all avant-garde?
Eat, Pray, Love.
Thank you, Eat, Pray, Love. It was like Eat, Pray, Love missile, sort of missile. And instead of going to India, it just waddled onto the beach and found some Palestinians. It happens. Okay. Too soon.
But, you know, it showed the real role of the New York Times. I mean, the intelligence report that came out you know, from the centers of power in our government. I mean, it was just, you know, like, it was embarrassing for them. I mean, it was so amateurishly done. Right. And you would think that any journalist who had a real interest in getting to the bottom of facts, especially when it comes to an issue like, you know, confronting the only other major nuclear power in the world, right. That they would want to look at it critically and really try to analyze what verify things happened. But instead, the New York Times had a very obvious mission to say, not only are we not going to question what's in this report, our job is to make people believe this report. Right. Mm-hmm. And this entire article that completely made up Abby's entire history and, you know, turned on its head the reality of what she did at RT, it used it as a way to try to convince people this is why you should believe this report as fact and not right. question a single line of it.
Right. And Judith Miller, does anyone remember her?
The mea culpa.
She also worked at the New York Times. So just bear that in mind. Albright deleted her tweet. Apparently Albright, what happened? What was her tweet? Anyone know?
What is neoliberalism?
She said inequality is only a problem for white guys.
Oh, that Albright. I thought it was Madeleine Albright. Oh, I tweeted. Oh, don't worry. I took a screenshot. Do you guys want to hear the best tweet ever? All right. This is like, sorry, just one thing. This is a woman named Sally. I know you're watching. You're probably watching at home with Neera Tanden. And Sally Albright was, this is what's great about her, is that she's a comm strategist, political organizer, progressive, activist, rock and roll girl. Don't be alarmed if I mistake you for a hat. I guess that's an Oliver, what's his name, Sacks thing, reference?
And she did PR for Clinton's 2008.
Yes, she was PR for Clinton's 2008 and Newt Gingrich, which means she is literally Mary Matlin and Jim Carville in one person. Not that many people can hold those contradictions, but she has a nuance that I aspire to. Yeah, she tweeted, what did she tweet? Jimmy Dore told me that. Thanks, Jimmy. Hi, Jimmy. We're big Jimmy Dore fans, right?
Yeah.
We're just talking about that.
Great guy.
Such a man. Really great guy.
So weird. Comedians are terrible people, and so are men. But he's both of those and not. Just kidding. Not at all. What are you talking about? Anyway, she basically said, like, income inequality is a problem for only straight cis white men. The rest of us have bigger problems.
Like, hell yeah.
Hell yeah. I hate when it's like the eviction officer's knocking on my door. I'm like, come back tomorrow because I have my period. All right.
And they're like, I'm just gonna evict the cis white male instead.
Yeah, I'm gonna go get the. Yeah. Oh my god. It's like, oh god. I'll train you guys. I went to Wesleyan. I can train you in how to pretend that you're woke but actually be racist. I'll do it. Okay. Just kidding. We have from. I consider these two news places kind of brothers in arms.
Yeah. Bros.
Bros in arms. Nando Villa from Fusion and Sam Alkoff from Democracy Now!
Yeah. Bum, 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 bum.
Yes. Yes.
By the way, Sam, why didn't you bring your son Arthur so he could tell you about his nightmares about men on Wall Street? His son literally is like, I've seen videos of his son complaining to his mom. He's like, I had a nightmare last night. She's like, what happened? He's like, there were men under the bed. Like, what do you mean? They were boogeymen. They worked on Wall Street. So, well,
kids
thank you guys.
Point.
And who does anyone want to do? Anyone want to summarize what happened today with Trump and the presser? Is it too PTSD provoking? He basically.
You work for a real news organization.
Yeah, but you're like Trump coverage all the time.
I'm Trump. Well, I mean, Ben explained it pretty well that there was this dossier that BuzzFeed published alleging that Donald Trump was compromised by the Russian government because they had videos of him paying prostitutes to pee on a bed that President Obama was going to sleep on.
That's just like locker room pranks.
Yeah,
something
exactly.
That is done, people do in real life. And
never thought
I mean,
of
the
it.
Reason I know it's the reason I know it's false is because no one peed on anyone else. The alleged peeing only happened
on
Nando
added himself as having. A,
that's not how that works.
hypothetically speaking, he doesn't know. Yeah.
At Democracy Now, we have no such expertise on that.
Well,
yeah,
that was
that
one of the big problems.
Story.
No, that was one of the big problems with the journalism around this dossier is that no one called an actual expert.
Yeah,
it's true.
There's like, right. Well, where were the
sex
tarps?
Workers.
Were there tarps?
You know,
was there plastic?
Tarps?
Like, what was happening?
What's a tarp?
A tarp is like a big piece of plastic.
Tarts.
You
I
use.
Said tarts.
No, a tart's a delicious
yeah,
thing
I know
you
that.
Eat.
You need tarps. But everyone knows that. Yeah. Everyone knows that.
You need, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I know that from Dexter.
Yeah.
I'm a necrophile. I'm just kidding.
Whenever there are body fluids, you want to have plastic somewhere.
Whether you're killing someone or urinating someone. Plastics are a good idea.
Yeah.
Or, like they say in The Graduate, good plastics, job. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Okay. So wise beyond your years.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah. CNN reported that there was a report that the intelligence community had presented in a presidential briefing to President Obama and Donald Trump. And like, and this report had been floating around Washington for weeks. The people behind it had tried to get news organizations to report on it for a long time, and no one jumped on it because it's so obviously bullshit. But
you guys can curse now.
Yes!
And once CNN reported that, without any details, no peeing, no nothing,
no tarp.
Immediately after BuzzFeed published just the whole thing with very little context.
But this has been floating around for a while. Mother Jones had it before the election and referenced it, but they didn't publish it because there wasn't enough there to substantiate
it. Wait, Mother Jones had a Trump-critical, Hillary-flattering report that they didn't...
Yeah. Made terms.
But I'm saying that the fact that they didn't go full throttle with it means it's total crap.
Yeah.
Because Jeffries and Drum and Dave Corn were like...
Everyone had it.
No, but I'm just saying that these people are the people who would most want... The fact that they wouldn't publish it is a kind of a damning sign.
Well, there's journalistic standards. I mean, it was an anonymous report from an anonymous person who might have a motive, and there wasn't enough there to back
it up. There.
Dude's name was Christopher Steele, which to me sounds like a...
Zoolander.
80s action TV show.
If you Google Christopher Steele, you will find that he was a gay porn actor in the 70s.
Did he do tarp work?
Probably did.
No, I like this tarp theme, sorry. Yeah. Okay, cool. I feel like we just learned a lot.
Yeah.
Do you guys have anything to add to that?
No, it was just terrifying that he just shut down a reporter and was just like, I don't have to talk to you because you're fake news. I mean, that really sets the tone for his whole administration.
Like, that's not scary. What's really scary is that CNN, in all seriousness, like, what really scared me was CNN apologizing to me.
That too. Yeah, totally.
That we expect that from Trump, right? But this was, I have to admit, like the first
moment.
Wait,
CNN apologized?
Did Tapper actually apologize, or he just said that we didn't report it in the way that Trump was suggesting
hold on.
That we
supported
it?
Yeah, I don't think they apologized.
Yeah, I think Tapper clarified.
But even like
I'm not defending Clapper, I just think we should be
Wait,
very
Clapper
clear
or Trump?
I'm sorry, Tapper clarified. They go together. I was going to.
But
say
even
Clapper
what Julia
terrifies.
Was talking about, the like behind closed doors when all the journalists met with Trump at Trump Tower. If you listen, or there was like a recording of them all just like gleefully laughing and having a grand old time. So
Trump's a funny guy.
Yeah, he's super funny. So that's the scary thing, is all these people are going to kowtow to Trump. And when you look at how he's just treated the press with complete contempt. 100%. Even Megyn Kelly in her book insinuated that he poisoned her the morning of the debate. No joke.
Sounds Russian.
Yeah, I mean, it's like...
No, seriously.
The report that BuzzFeed published and that CNN reported, I mean, it's another, like, kind of laughably bad report. I mean, it just seems very, like, unsubstantiated, and I don't think there's anything that substantiates it. But, like, why do we need it? I mean, it's almost like as soon as Trump won the election, this major story about how he's on a recording bragging about sexually assaulting women, that's just disappeared. Mm-hmm. And all the media's just treated him as like, oh, well, he's our president now, and this is how the system works, da-da-da, and hasn't mentioned it anymore. I mean, how many women have come out and said that they were raped by Donald Trump who were ignored? It's like, we don't need, like, this kind of fake, you know, weird story about him maybe hiring people to pee on a mattress, like, whatever. It's like, we know he's sexually assaulted people, and he's just a pig. I mean, there's countless... He's, like, the easiest guy
smart.
To take
pick
down.
Katie, can I just jump in here for a second? Because I think there's actually an important note that we should, away from all the jokes, which is that if Trump is treating the press with contempt, we as consumers of the press, we may want to look at that may not be a bad thing, right? So much of the press, and especially the corporate press, is willing to trade everything in exchange for access.
Right.
And they're willing to be, they want to be friends, they want to go golfing with Obama, they want to be all buddy-buddy, they don't want to risk that access.
Yeah. You want to be in the room when it happens, the room when it happens.
There might be something to be said about a president who treats the press with contempt and forces the press to have a footing against the state, that challenges the state, and that doesn't say, I'm willing to be quiet in exchange for access. And so that might hurt Jake Tapper's feelings. It may hurt Jim Acosta's feelings. But for us who live here and who, you know, this is our world, that may not be a bad thing that they're not all buddy-buddy with the press.
To hear the rest of that interview, which includes a lot of cursing and fun discussions and passionate discussions, make sure you join our Patreon. That's patreon.com/thekatiehalpershow. And you will be able to access it, as well as a bunch of other great bonus content. Thanks for listening. See you guys next week.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.